And welcome to St. Columba's on this, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, the baptism of our Lord. We welcome visitors who are joining with us. All of you are most welcome. In addition to all of the announcements in the Pew News, please note that members of the afternoon group, they're meeting tomorrow at 2:30 in the choir vestry and will be having a chatty craft afternoon, and all are welcome. Our service begins on page 201. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For today, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, the baptism of our Lord. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, grant to us who are born of water and the Spirit that we may be faithful to our calling as your adopted children, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Jews hated Samaritans, who claimed God for themselves. So when the gospel first spread beyond Jerusalem, it was significant that Philip's preaching was effective in Samaria. Peter and John were sent to confirm that this was true and lay hands on the converts. The epistle is from Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
God. The gradual Psalm number 29, verses 1 to 6.
John the Baptist points always to the greater one whose way he was preparing and promises a different kind of baptism from his. Jesus submits himself to John for baptism and prayer. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 17. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. In attempting to deal with the theme of today's service, the baptism of our Lord, I wish to begin by referring you again to the epistle read by Adrian Clements. In this case, the word epistle or letter is a misnomer, because the passage is taken not from one of the many letters in the New Testament, but from the Acts of the Apostles, which is a history of the early growth and development of the Christian Church. The passage, as you realize, was very short, but as it poses as many questions as one might attempt to answer, I hope you'll bear with me as I read it again. When the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not fallen on any of them, but they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The cradle of Christianity is Jerusalem. That's where it all began. But very quickly, the apostles and others felt compelled to bring their newfound faith to other places and people. Their next-door neighbors in the north were the Samaritans in Samaria. But there was very bad feeling between the Jews in Judea and the Samaritans. Not surprisingly, that had its origins in disputes in past centuries. About 700 years before Christ, the Assyrian Empire invaded Samaria. Many of its inhabitants were chased from the land and replaced by people from another country. Most of them were non-Jews. And while they gradually integrated into their newfound country, they retained an independent character, socially and religiously. Those who became Jews or retained their faith considered their religious center not to be in Jerusalem, but at the temple on Mount Gerizim in Samaria. Hostility and prejudice between the Jews, whose allegiance was to Jerusalem, and those in Samaria was so acute that it prompted Jesus to tell the story of the Good Samaritan, while St. John's Gospel records the meeting at a well between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. Both those passages and others attempted to paint the Samaritans in a good light. However, prejudice and suspicion was deeply rooted. Now, I see parallels between that set of circumstances and those here in Ireland. Over 400 years ago, thousands of settlers and adventurers came to this land from Scotland and England. Many of the longer-term natives were removed from their homes and their land. The settlers and the more established long-term Irish had different cultural and religious hopes and expectations. We're reminded of those differences and aspirations at certain times of the year, but also, unfortunately, by the current political impasse here in Northern Ireland, where what I describe as an immovable force, seems to face an irresistible object. Sadly, many people, be they part of the electorate or our politicians, have become culturally conditioned with very little room for compromise. And that was a situation not unknown in first century Palestine, as we note the discord between the Jews and the Samaritans. One of the earlier Christians, Philip, not to be confused with the apostle of the same name, had travelled to Samaria, where those who accepted the faith were baptized. He reported back to Jerusalem. But doubts seemed to be expressed about his report. Two of the apostles, Peter and John, were sent from Jerusalem to check things out. They prayed with the newly baptized Christians that they might receive the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? Was their baptism in the name of Jesus not good enough? What did those Samaritans have to show that their baptism was good enough? More enthusiasm? Greater conviction? Quite frankly, I don't know. Could the apostles be accused of prejudice, or did they need further evidence that those people had been genuinely baptized? Now, all this does raise a question about your baptism and mine. Where is the line between being baptized in the name of the Trinity and receiving the Spirit of God? Can we place bounds and limits on how God works? On a number of occasions in the New Testament, we read that the leaders of the church laid hands on new believers who received the Spirit. In the Christian church, the laying on of hands is practiced in a variety of ways. For example, at healing services, at confirmation services, when people are ordained or commissioned for a particular task, as in the case of clergy. As we consider this morning's short epistle, it should caution us as Christians to use the gifts given to us by Christ, not to incite disunity. For in him we are baptized into one body, in which there is a rich variety of expression of faith. Turning to this morning's gospel passage, we heard that Jesus was baptized and received the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan. The day of his baptism, which is observed by many Christian churches near the beginning of the season we call Epiphany, is seen as the start of his ministry. It was a sort of mission statement outlining who he was and what his role would be. Most of us here this morning began our faith journey at some point in life. Maybe it was at your baptism, long before you were conscious of faith. On the other hand, maybe your baptism and confirmation at a later stage in life was a declaration of faith. Or perhaps your giving as a relatively newcomer to practicing faith serious consideration to this whole matter. Many people have gaps and questions that require further research or explanation. One person I've met likened his journey to a trek across the mountains. There are peaks and there are troughs. Perhaps in order to experience the good moments, we have to endure the difficult ones. Like health, faith can be a case of moving two steps forwards and one step backwards. But remember, that is progress. As I commented some time ago, it's not the point at which we stand on our faith journey, but the direction overall in which you and I are moving. The spirit of our times, the prevailing climate, suggesting that faith and spirituality don't matter, should make us resist more than ever the pressure to retreat into a state of apathy and indifference. Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. The event raises many questions that can only be dealt with adequately in a discussion group or lecture. However, I'm sure that he was recognizing that pre-Christian baptism, such as that practiced by John the Baptist, reminded all Jews that in crossing the River Jordan, they'd left behind the fragmented, broken life that they had lived in the wilderness. As they saw it, they became God's people in God's land. Whenever you and I glance at the font in the baptistry, or observe the baptism of a child or possibly an adult here in St. Columba's, maybe it will remind us of our passing over, of our journey from one stepping stone to another, of our emergence from a spiritual wilderness into a land spiritually on earth and beyond, which God has promised you and me. Catching that vision, experiencing what is sometimes referred to as a sense of the Holy Spirit, the conviction that God is present, can come at a cost, with many temptations to give up the journey and turn back. Today, we cannot travel in person to the River Jordan for all sorts of reasons, although I am aware of the fact that a few of you here, Canon Laverty included, have visited that area. However, as we are transported back in time to the baptism of Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, we can reflect on our own baptism and, if we care enough, ask ourselves what Christian discipleship means to us at this stage in our journey of life. And hopefully, in doing so, it will give us personally and collectively as the people of God gathered here this morning to celebrate our faith and to enter into a holy communion with God and with one another, it can give us the confidence to move on with the words ringing in our thoughts and our minds, "I am with you always to the end of time." To God be the glory, and to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, now, henceforth, and forevermore.
Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Using the prayers of intercession, let us pray.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. Father, we ask your blessing upon the church, that it may grow in love for you, that it may grow in size. We remember before you all who reach out in mission to tell of your love and your saving power. We pray for the preachers of the word and the teachers of the faith, and we ask that we may all share in bringing others to you. Grant that your church may help to bring peace and hope to a troubled world. Renew the life of this, our diocese of Down and Dromore, and in the diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for the parish of Ballyhome and its rector, Simon Dugan, and the whole life and work of that parish. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader, and build us up in faith and love. And in the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Anglican Church of Australia and its primate, Archbishop Fryer. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour upon the world that you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and peace, and bless Elizabeth our Queen and all in authority. Lord, we pray for the world and the right use of its resources. We ask your blessing upon any who are suffering from natural disasters, upon those suffering from famine or flood. We remember all those whose resources are running low, and those who are poor in the world and without work or even proper shelter. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. Lord, in our homes, help us to listen to each other with undivided attention. Teach us to be sensitive to the various callings for us to share and to care for each other. We ask you to protect our homes and our loved ones. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends and to love one another as you love us. And at this time we pray for the family of Sheila Walton, who died yesterday. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick and suffering. Be with those who have any special need. We give thanks for our well-being, and we pray for all those who are struggling at this time. We remember those who are suffering from physical disability or weakness, all those who are losing their agility or mobility. We pray for all who do not have the strength to cope on their own, and we ask your blessing upon those who have been taken into care. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all your people and those who have confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another for our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs into your table. But you are the same, Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Our Saviour Christ is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Thank you. the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father Almighty, never living God, at all times and in all places, is right to give you thanks and praise. For Jesus Christ our Lord, who in human likeness revealed your glory to bring us out of darkness into the splendor of his light. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Jesus, our Lord, who art thou, Lord, have mercy on us.
Let us pray. Refreshed by these holy gifts, Lord God, we seek your mercy, that by listening faithfully to your only Son and being obedient to the prompting of the Spirit, we may be your children in name and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ the Son, be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Last week was a very memorable week for us in the Church of Ireland. It saw the launch of the new format of the Church of Ireland Gazette. Those of you who are subscribers to the Church of Ireland Gazette will know that it has been going through a period of change. It has now moved from a weekly publication to a monthly publication, and it was published on Friday. And this is a copy of the new look, Church of Ireland Gazette. Here in St. Columba's, we have many close associations with the work of the Board of Directors of the Church of Ireland Press Limited. We think primarily of Adrian Clements, who is chair of the board, Donald Kerr, a member of our choir, who is the honorary treasurer of the board, and Patrick Good, who is the honorary secretary of the board. It was a privilege for me to have served for some 15 years on the board as we embraced all opportunities to connect the Gazette as best we could with the many changes that are happening in the printed media and in media work in general, and what changes there have been over the years. And the Church of Ireland Gazette has had to rise up and meet the challenge of new demands and new issues of communication and new forms of communication, and they've done this, I believe, superbly well in this magnificent colour publication of the Church of Ireland Gazette. The big difference is, as I've just said, it's now monthly rather than weekly. And here in St. Columba's, Moran Knowd is our very hard working, diligent, and conscientious Gazette representative here in this, our parish. Those of you who are subscribing to the Gazette, you will note that you get a complimentary copy this month, and that is for you to give to a friend or a neighbour, perhaps to introduce them to the Church of Ireland Gazette and for them to become subscribers. But when you move to a monthly publication, there are many other options that you can get involved in. And one of those is, of course, more focused and more in-depth articles that have been very carefully researched over a longer period of time that can connect with the reader, the subscriber in the pews of our church, north, south, east and west. So I want to congratulate the board, the Church of Ireland Press Limited, for their hard work in getting to this point of the new look Church of Ireland Gazette. And I want to encourage parishioners here in this parish to consider taking out a subscription to this very attractive, easily readable publication. And if you would like to do so, would you please speak to Moran Knowd after this service? The Recession, the hymn number 652. Thank you. peace to love and serve the Lord.